May the Lord help us to worship him in spirit and in truth this evening. Let us commence with hymn number 28:28. Blessed Spirit of truth, eternal God, thou meek and lowly dove, who fills the soul through Jesus' blood with faith and hope and love. Hymn number 28.
With faith and from the Holy Word of God. We'll read together the Gospel according to John chapter 3. The Gospel according to John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Aenon near to Salim, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized, for John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth. And no man receiveth his testimony. He that received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. May God bless that reading of his holy word to us. May he teach us how to pray. Most merciful and gracious and almighty Lord God in heaven, we gather once more together here this evening around thy holy word, desiring that we might hear thy voice, to hear what the Spirit will say unto the churches. Grant us each, Lord, an ear to hear and a heart to receive. Lord, may thy power attend the word read and preached this evening. May the dear Holy Spirit come and pour out upon us a hearing spirit. He may take of those things and apply them to our hearts, giving that unction and power of God upon the word. We pray, Lord, that thou remember us each in our various needs. Lord, help us to worship, Lord, free from the temptations, the meddlings of Satan in our minds. Lord, do clear our minds of unnecessary thoughts. Lord, redraw us unto thee. Lord, we pray that our time of worship might be set apart by thy Spirit working within our hearts. Lord, that the scenes of life may be lost for a few moments, that we might be wholly taken up with thee. We may truly hear to the profit of our souls. There might be those things that abide, that which remains. Lord, there may be those things for us to take home. Thy word might be treasured up in our hearts. It may be food for our souls. Lord, we pray that it may be a time of gleaning in the gospel field even this night. Lord, we pray that we may have Ruth's portion, something to take home, something to beat out, to live on in the coming days. Lord, do satisfy thy poor with bread, that bread from heaven. O Lord, we pray that thou lead us to those fountains of living water. And we pray that thou wipe away all tears. Grant, Lord, that thy grace may supply every need, according to thy riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Do deliver us, Lord, from a spirit of unbelief. Keep us, Lord, from fatalism. Oh, keep us from presumption. Oh, keep us from taking anything for granted. Keep us, Lord, low at thy feet. Oh, may we be found in that posture of clinging and cleaving unto thee. Oh, Lord, do remember us in all our need. We do pray for this church and congregation. We pray thy blessing to rest upon them each. Lord, we pray that thou add to the church from this congregation. Lord, do gather them each in, we pray, into gospel liberty. Oh, do grant them that which they need to take up their cross by way of open profession and to follow thee in thy gospel commands. Oh, and we pray the love of Christ might constrain, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Oh Lord, may there be those in their younger years who are constrained to bear the yoke in their youth. Lord, it is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. We pray, Lord, that it might be thy people made willing in a day of thy power. O Lord, we pray that thou glorify thyself in the building up of this church. Oh, may they grow in grace and in the knowledge of their Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Do bind them together in unity and in love. May there ever be that desire, esteeming other better than themselves. A desire to bear one another's burdens, and so fulfil the law of Christ. Grant that Satan may be kept from the flock. Lord, thou knowest how he goes about as a roaring lion, seeking to devour whom he may. Lord, we pray that thou wilt be that good shepherd, ever watching, ever keeping the flock. Oh, do grant, Lord, that we may know thy raised hand raised on our in our defence. And pray, Lord, that thou would frustrate the work of Satan in our day. Lord, that thou would restrain his power. Pray, Lord, that thy Spirit may be poured out in abundance. The day and generation we live might be a day which sees much spiritual blessing. O Lord, do revive thy work, we humbly pray. O Lord, do arise for our help. Thou knowest, Lord, the solemn times we are living in. Lord, thy purposes are working out. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt, in much wrath, remember mercy. Thou wilt turn the tide of sin and evil in our land. Deliver us, Lord, from foolish leaders. Deliver us, Lord, from the enemy who is working in many places. Do overturn, Lord, the plans of wicked men and women. Do, Lord, remember our nation, though we have for the most part departed from thee. Yet, Lord, thou hast been pleased to spare a remnant, a praying remnant among the nation. And, Lord, we pray that there might be that stirring up to prayer, that thou put, Lord, in each praying person a spirit of wrestling prayer, that they may sigh and cry for the abominations done in the land, and beseech thee for thy gracious return. O Lord, we do ask that thou remember us. Remember us, O Lord, with a favour that thou bearest unto thy people. And Lord, we would pray personally with the psalmist, O visit me with thy salvation. Lord, it surely begins with us each. How stands the case, my soul, with thee? O Lord, we pray that thou would use the things that we are living through as individuals and as a nation. The solemn times in among the nations of the earth. May there be many eyes opened. Lord, who send out thy light and thy truth. We think of those places where war is ongoing, in Ukraine and in Israel. Lord, in all the terror of war and all the bloodshed, oh, we pray that thou bring an end. We pray that eyes might be opened. We pray that thy great and holy name might be glorified. We pray for a lasting peace. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Oh, we pray for the eyes of Israel to be opened. Pray that thou fulfill that prophecy. They shall look on him whom they have pierced and mourn for him. O Lord, we pray that thou remember, and Lord, glorify thyself in salvation. Do, Lord, remember those that are unwell, any that are sick and afflicted, those older friends, Lord, with the infirmities of increasing age, the grasshopper becoming a burden, all the evening time of life, the shadows lengthening upon the earth. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt draw near and comfort each heart. At evening time it shall be light with them. Lord, thou wilt lighten their path. And grant them, Lord, much liberty, gospel liberty, as they draw near their journey's end. May there be that looking back over the way that thou hast led them. And may there be a time of gathering stones together. And Lord, may faith be strengthened for that greatest test of faith to come. Oh Lord, we pray that each, whether young or old, may be found prepared of thee. Lord, may we not be brought to the end of our days unprepared, but rather prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. Lord Jesus, we have read what thou didst say to Nicodemus. Ye must be born again. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou art cast out our sin and enter in and be born in us this day. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou art awaken the dead. Oh, that thou art, Lord, stir up those that are slumbering. Lord, that thou art fan to a flame that which is within the lukewarm heart. Grant, Lord, that there might be that personal spiritual revival, that thou revive thy work in the midst of the years. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou would grant that diligence. Lord, that thou would give us that diligence to make our calling and our election sure. Pray, Lord, that thou would keep us ever close to thee. Lord, we would hear thy voice. We would see thy face by faith. Oh, we would desire, Lord, that our hearts might be warmed with thy love. So, Lord, we pray that thou wilt forgive our sins. Oh, we pray to be washed in the Redeemer's precious blood. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt forgive the many, many sins. Lord, we pray that we may be made acceptable in and through our Lord Jesus Christ, that thou wilt wash us in the Redeemer's precious blood, that thou wilt, Lord, grant us that good hope through grace of a robe of righteousness to come. Oh, that we may be found clothed in the righteousness of Christ, that we may stand before a holy God and be holy and unblameable and unreprovable. Oh Lord, do remember any with their particular burdens, those, Lord, that have heavy matters upon them, any, Lord, who may feel the loneliness, any who feel their own weakness. Lord, do strengthen the weak, we pray. Any, Lord, who have a sorrowful heart, O Lord, we pray that thou reveal thyself. There might be that looking unto Jesus, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God in heaven. Oh Lord, may there be that consider him who endures such contradiction of sinners against himself. Oh Lord, we pray then that thou would help us. Be with us, Lord, as we've begun a new week. Do go before us in all the untrodden steps. Do help us, Lord, as we separate this evening. And Lord, as we go forth into this week, oh, we pray that thou go with us, that thou go before us, that thou lead us safely through. Guide us, O thou great Jehovah. Oh, leave us not to go alone, we pray. But grant, Lord, that we may seek thy will and thy way in all things. So help us, Lord, we pray. Remember thy servants labouring in thy word. Lord, do send forth labourers into the harvest. Lord, do exercise those whom thou would send forth into the ministry. Lord, we pray that thou glorify thyself as thy servants are sent forth. Lord, may it be the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Leave the churches, Lord, not to suffer a famine of hearing the word of God. Lord, may there be that supply of every need. So hear us, Lord, in these things we beseech thee. We would seek our acceptance in and through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Lord, we thank thee for that name which is above every name, the name of thy beloved Son. In his name, his merits, his worth, our Lord Jesus Christ, we seek all in his precious name. Amen.
Let us now sing hymn number 413, 413. Let Zion songs of triumph sing, let gladness crown the day. Jehovah is her God and King, he hates to put away. Hymn number 413.
Will you turn with me to the chapter we read, the Gospel according to John chapter 3. With the Lord's help this evening, I'll speak to you from verse 30. The Gospel according to John chapter 3 and verse 30. He must increase, but I must decrease. The Gospel according to John chapter 3 and verse 30. He must increase, but I must decrease. These are the words of John the Baptist. And these are the words that he said concerning himself and the Lord Jesus Christ. He, Christ Jesus, he must increase, but I must decrease. He, John, was the forerunner of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was he that was prophesied of, that voice crying in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." And he was a great man, John the Baptist. Our Lord Jesus Christ declared when speaking to those around him in a tribute, really, to John the Baptist. John, having been arrested and put into prison by Herod, and an inquiry sent by John through two of John's disciples to the Lord Jesus, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" And the Lord says, "Go and show John again these things which ye do hear and see." And then as they departed, Jesus began to speak of John the Baptist. And friends, what a precious few verses these are in the Word of God as we think of the Lord Jesus speaking of John the Baptist. He says this in verse 11 of Matthew 11, "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of woman, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist." You think of that. What a thing to be said. Of among them that are born of women, there hath not arisen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Friends, this path, this life of John the Baptist, you know, he speaks of what must be concerning himself. I must decrease. The forerunner must decrease. The one whose way he has prepared must increase. The Lord Jesus wouldn't increase in knowledge, wisdom or grace. But as he went about doing good, his popularity would increase. His discipleship would increase. And so it went on. Much greater outpouring upon the world of the Holy Spirit, and how there has been an increase in the kingdom of God, the day of Pentecost onward. He must increase. the church must be built. That building must rise. Stone upon stone, member added to member, until the whole body of Christ, Christ the head, many members, the whole body is finished. The whole body is completed, and that top stone is brought forth. The foundation has been laid, and the top stone, the last stone to be added, the last member of it regenerated. And then that last stone is set in place, and it's with crying, grace, grace unto it. He must increase. He must increase. John's work was drawing to an end. He must increase, but I must decrease. And we find, don't we, John looking upon Jesus, we read, don't we, in John's opening chapter, he directing his disciples, pointing them to the Lord Jesus, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And they turned their eyes from John to Jesus. They looked from John to look to the Saviour. They went from following John to following the Lord. "Master, where dwellest thou? Come and see." And they followed him. He must increase. I must decrease. You know, with that decrease, oh friends, it wasn't there for John personally, that the crucifying of his flesh. Oh, you think of his imprisonment at the hands of Herod, how he was put into prison. He must increase, I must decrease. When John spoke these words, he wouldn't have known he would be soon found in prison. And then the mysterious things, according to the holy will and mind of God, that the beloved John the Baptist should be martyred. Oh, that wicked gathering. And we find that John is put to death, and that distress. The disciples came and took up the body and buried it. And they went and told Jesus. He must increase. He must increase. So we have it with in the context of it this evening, as spoken by John the Baptist. Oh, there was a question arose, and they came unto John and said unto him, "Rabbi, he that was beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizes, and all men come to him." Yes, because he must increase, and I must decrease. Oh, how necessary it was, according to the will of God. Friends, you know, considering this verse concerning John, how does it rest with me this evening? We know the context. It's John the Baptist, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the forerunner, and it's that the glorious Redeemer, our Lord Jesus. But what about you and me? What about you and me? You know, thinking of this in the light of our reading, we had Nicodemus. And he came to Jesus by night, and he had a question in verse 2 of our reading this evening. Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And what did Jesus reply? Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We know that thou art a teacher come from God. You say, well, what's wrong with that? Friends, it was a different view that Nicodemus had when he came that evening of the crucifixion with Joseph of Arimathea, wasn't it? It wasn't that the body of a teacher sent from God, that he risked all his reputation to come and take down from the cross with Joseph of Arimathea, was it? He must increase. You see, there's a view of the Lord Jesus, a natural view, a view of one that isn't born again, of the Spirit of God. And seeing the wonderful things, the view is still low. There is no doubt that Jesus has done some wonderful things. No man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. But there must be more. It's not God with Jesus. It's Jesus is God. Very God, very man. It is the eternal Son of God who Nicodemus is speaking with. It is the second person of the Godhead in his glorious incarnation, Son of God, Son of Man. Oh, this is no teacher sent from God that God is with. This is God himself in the person of Jesus Christ. He must increase. And how do you see it? How do you view him? How is it to your view? Is he some, without doubt, some notable person? One whose miracles you marvel at? What, one whom you enjoy reading of? Or is Christ the all and in all for you? He must increase. Oh, if he doesn't increase from a teacher sent from God to be the true Messiah, the Saviour of lost sinners, then friends, oh, we are coming short. Oh, how needful it is, in this sense, he must increase. And if he must increase, then like Nicodemus, you must decrease. If you think of it like this, you children, something simple. Think of a seesaw. you know what one is. You sit one on either end. And if one is heavier, one end goes up, and what happens to the other end? It goes down. And it is the same. In that illustration is the same as this text. The same is true. If he is to increase, the opposite in you will be, you must decrease. If he is to be made the all and in all, then you must be nothing, less than the least. He must increase. You see, we have Nicodemus, and he is with a view of the Lord Jesus as a teacher sent from God. But Nicodemus himself, well, what does the Lord Jesus speak of him as? He says here, Nicodemus says, how can a man be born again? And the Lord goes on to say, how can he goes on to speak of that need of being born again. Nicodemus says, how can these things be? And Jesus said, art thou a master of Israel? A master of Israel. And knowest not these things. You see, friends, we may think we're here. We may think we've attained something. In our mind, we have a head knowledge of things. We've mastered something of the Word of God. We've mastered something of theology. We've mastered something of the doctrines of the grace of God in the letter of it, in our minds. Has it entered into the heart? Has it been brought from the head to the heart? Friends, when the Word of God, the teachings of Holy Scripture, remain solely in the mind, though you may know the Bible inside and out, maybe you can recite many parts of the most precious parts of Scripture, but while they remain just in your mind, then he will not be the all and in all. He will not be high in your estimation until that word sinks deep into your soul. Until the Lord takes that word and brings it, as it were, down the 18 inches and seals it into your heart. And the effect then will be, you're not a master in Israel. You're less than the least. Oh, you'll be brought low to his feet. Oh, you'll be made willing. Baby made willing. You'll desire to take the lowest place. Oh, there is no room. When the Lord is pleased to reveal himself and teach you in your heart and reveal something of yourself to yourself, well, self becomes abhorrent. We sing, don't we, to be made sick of self. And what's the opposite? Fond of him. You see how it's like that seesaw? Sick of self, down you go. Fond of him. Up he rises. In your estimation. In your esteem. Oh, how he's highly valued by sinners who are sick of themselves. How he's made precious to those who feel themselves to be vile. Oh, it is, isn't it? A religion, you might say, of contrasts. Oh, we are, aren't we? When we're shown something of ourselves and the Lord is pleased to convict us of our own sins, convince us of our sinnership. Oh, what a burden is then felt. We've been carrying it about all our lives, but when we're unaware of it, we're not conscious of it, when we're dead in sin, we don't feel that great load that we're carrying. But when the Lord is pleased to reveal something of ourselves, when the light of the glorious gospel shines in and reveals what we are, that all the darkness, the deadness, the sin, when it's exposed to the view of our eye, a spiritual eye, is given to see the corruptions of our fallen nature, the failings of our sinful lives, what a weight, what a burden. Down we go under that load. Down we sink beneath it. Oh, friends, what? He must increase. I must decrease. Oh, pride. Self-righteousness. Oh, those things that are there through our fall in Adam. Oh, the sins of our self-righteousness, our pride. Oh, there is that vital need, isn't there? If you and I are to see ever see a true worth in the Lord Jesus, if he's to be made precious to you and precious to me, surely we have to go along with that, the words of that hymn, sinners can say, and none but they, how precious is the Saviour. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. You've been brought to see your sin and shame. You believe what you see. You're guilty and vile and base. And the Lord's not just brought you to see it, but you've been made to feel it. And then what is the opposite effect? Well, in need as a sinner, in that need, when a sinner's brought to be truly brought in guilty before God, oh, it's what must I do to be saved? Like that Philippian jailer. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Oh, there must be, surely, hope for one like me, though vile and base. And then, as the Lord is pleased to reveal himself. Oh, what do we find? Oh, he's brought to rise. Our expectations are raised. His value, his preciousness, our esteem of him is increased. Our love begins to flow toward him in response to his love flowing into our hearts, and how he rises up and he takes the highest place and he becomes the centre and sum and substance of all things, and he becomes the one thing needful. And it is then, I could from all things parted be, but never, never, Lord, from thee. He must increase. I must decrease. The way of a believer, the way of a child of God, the way of a true Christian is a narrow way. It's a straight and narrow way. And there's no room for self. There are many things that must be laid aside. If you and I are to truly take up that cross and follow him, he must increase. I must decrease. Oh, must be brought to lay aside every weight. And those sins that doth so easily beset us, that would slow us down, that would hinder us in our following. You know, that would cumber us about. Oh, there is that decreasing of self. And there is, friends, there is no room for self. And that the Lord's work is this, that he fits and fashions and prepares his dear children for glory, is to chip away those things. It is to remove those things. There's that cutting work. And this must be offered up. And that must be laid aside. And that must be offered up on the altar to the praise and glory of God. Oh, that there might be that true taking up of the cross and following him. To follow in the footsteps of the despised Saviour. As you walk through this world of sin, he's despised and rejected of men. And friends, you're to follow him as one of his disciples. Can you follow along in all your own self-righteousness? Can you follow along with all the baggage that you have? Or is there that need of the Lord to bring you humble and of a contrite spirit? Or has he got much stripping work to be done? Have you got much work in your heart to be done still? Stripping away those things that are not necessary. Friends, he can do it. Oh, pray the Lord will help you. Give you that grace that you need. You see, it's a painful work. This decreasing, the flesh doesn't like it. It is a painful cutting work. And the flesh kicks against it. And our natural disposition would resist it. But it's vital. And who cannot murmur and will not murmur except the Lord give them that grace of humility. Oh, and that he might give us the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, which is essential. That it might be Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Spirit of the Lord dwelling in your heart. It is only through the Spirit of God that this is done. It is his work. It is to his work to purge your soul. It is his to cleanse the soul and to strip you of those things that are not necessary. Oh, that you might be brought forth as gold, purging away the dross, that you might shine to the honour and the glory of God. John the Baptist, the worthies of faith, as recorded in Hebrews, the Apostle Paul himself, the list goes on. But friends, in that 11th chapter of Hebrews, we read, don't we? We read of many, but listen to Abraham. What's recorded of him in verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. He left his native land and he didn't know where he was going, but he obeyed the call of the Lord. And you know, that's cutting and that's crucifying to the flesh. When it's not on our agenda, when it wasn't foreseen by us, he obeyed and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange land. He's a stranger in a strange land. And he was dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him, the heirs with him of the same promise. And what did he do? He lived in his tabernacle and he looked. He looked for that city which hath foundations. His eye was up unto the Lord, whose builder and maker is God. And we go on to read, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Is that you? Is the Lord bringing you to now? He's so unsettled you in the world that you can't. You are now a stranger. You had your home in the world. You had your ambitions in the world. You were at peace in the world. But now he's unsettled you. And now you're not at home. And now you're not content in the world. And the things that once contented you no longer satisfy. And that's humbling. And the difficulties, naturally speaking, of walking out these things. But we're told they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, not their rest here. This is polluted. Are we seeking a better, that which is to come? Oh, we're pilgrims. We're travelling through. Yes, we may not have what the world has. Yes, we may not desire what the world desires. But our eye is up unto him. Our eyes fixed on the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We're not looking around when we're running our race. We're passing through. We're travellers. We're going through this world. We're not wanting to stay. We're not wanting to remain here forever. We're looking to that day, looking forward to that day, in faith, believing that that day will come when we're able to put this body of sin in the ground, and it's good riddance. It's heaven. It's the glory of heaven. It is an end of all corruption and sin. And they declared plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they'd been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. And Abraham made willing in a day of the power of God, forsook his native land. Not a day when you could view it on your phone where you were heading. Not a day when you could search with Google Earth and look where you were going. Not knowing where he was going. At the command of God he left. And friends, that is crucifying to the flesh. He must increase. If he is to be your leader, you must decrease. Offering up all your will and way. You thought you might once do this. You thought you might once achieve that. But the Lord is your guide. And the Lord is leading you as that good shepherd. You've got to offer up all of that. And what is it? What wilt thou have me to do? The Apostle Paul, on the road to Damascus. What was it? When the Lord appeared to him and spoke with him. What did he say? He fell down. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Oh, friends, if you're there this evening, you're in a good place. Believe it or not, you're in a good place. Oh, you know, when you're brought down to that place where you've got to just leave it all with the Lord, you're in a good place. When the Lord has so hemmed you in that you don't know what to do, but your eyes are then up unto him, you're in a good place. When you've lost all idea and all your own schemes have been brought to an end and your eyes are up, neither know we what to do. But our eyes are up unto thee, then you're in a good place. Oh, you're in the right place. Oh, you're in the teachable spirit. What wilt thou have me to do? And you think of the words of the Apostle Paul. And friends, if there's a witness in the word of God to one, he must increase, I must decrease, the Pharisee Saul. The one who had gone about persecuting the church of Jesus Christ and wasting it is now lying submissive. He's blind 3 days, waiting for Ananias to come and touch him. Brother Saul. There he is, 3 days in blindness. You can neither eat or drink. He must increase. I must decrease. Before honour is humility. Oh, there's a bringing down before the sinner in his hope is raised up. Oh, self must be down, self-worth. Before we see the Lord in his beauty. Paul says, didn't he, writing to the Philippians? No, he spoke of himself and how he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, he said he was a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. You see, he was up there in his own estimation and in other people's. And his pride was lifted up. But he says, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Oh, the Lord took it all away and brought him right down. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. You see, he lost, but through his loss he gained. Through the loss of his own self-righteousness, his own keeping of the law, his own estimation of his own self-worth, all of these things he had to lose. And he had to be brought in low at the feet of Jesus, that the one who he despised, the one who he saw no value in, the one who he thought was an impostor, he now had to own as his Lord and Master. Oh, and it was, he says, all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, be made conformable unto his death. This is dying, dying to self, isn't it? That I, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Oh, and he's pressing toward that mark. He's not dwelling on those things that are past. He's reaching forth for those things which are to come. And he's been brought to offer up all on the altar of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the knowledge of Christ Jesus might be found in him, that the Lord Jesus may have that right place. Oh, friends, is that your desire this evening? Oh, then may the Lord give you that spirit of seeking after him. Oh, may he give you that grace that you need, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. He came down from heaven. He made himself a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. For your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Will you think of this then? The Lord Jesus offering up himself on behalf and for his poor, unworthy people, to put away their sin, to bring in an everlasting righteousness. And what did he do to the whole church of God? When the Lord Jesus cried out, "It is finished," it was, as it were, propelling them all from the dunghill to be set among princes. Oh, to be found brought up and brought out and brought in to the glory of the kingdom of God. Oh, friends, what a wonderful thing. Oh, may the Lord give us in some measure an experience of these things, a personal knowledge of them, to know what it is to die to ourselves and to live unto the glory and the praise of our Lord Jesus Christ. He must increase, but I must decrease. May God add his blessing. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Adrian Pickett will preach on Friday evening in the chapel vestry. And on Saturday, we hope to hold our prayer meeting for the nation at 4 o'clock here in the primary school hall. God willing, Mr. Bernard Burgess will preach next Lord's Day. Our closing hymn is number 462. 462. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me now and evermore. 462.
Do forgive all that thy pure and holy eyes have seen amiss in our worship here this day. Do take us each home in peace and in safety. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.